Welcome to worship on Sunday, March 29th, the fifth Sunday in Lent. You might want to pause this recording while you get a lighted candle and a small bowl of water. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is from the 37th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. The Spirit led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. The Lord said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as I had been commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then the Lord said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the people there were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many people had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher's here and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the people who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw her get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the people who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus began to weep. So the people said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the people, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. As on every Sunday, we have Word for Children this morning. There is a link in the text body of this sermon that will take you to two stories that have video recordings of their books. The first one is The Deer in the Hollow, and the second is the story of Lazarus from the Spark Bible. So I invite you to click that link to read the first story, and then after each story, actually to pause and to ask the questions or consider the questions that are there, to have a discussion about those questions before you continue on. Grace and peace be to you from God, Creator, Savior, and Sanctifier. Amen. This Sunday, we find Lazarus ill, and Jesus, hearing the word that he's ill, chooses to stay away and waits for him to die. He waits until he's good and dead before he heads back towards Judea to be with his friends Mary and Martha. This puts us in a really interesting position this Sunday, because we too are crying out to God for relief, for miraculous healing, for God to care, for Jesus to come and to care, to end suffering and speed healing, to kill this virus, to sustain our healthcare system. We have all sorts of cries to God, and it seems like we are crying to God from the inside of our own sort of tomb, as we are shut up in our homes and having more and more restrictions placed upon us. We can also wonder, why isn't Jesus on the move? Why isn't Jesus coming quicker? Why is he waiting? And to that we could say, listen to his words. He says to his disciples, "For your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there. This doesn't lead to death, but it leads to God's glory. Let's go to him. He's dead, but let's go to him." So, you know, in this story, we see Jesus come to the tomb. He's comforting and crying with his friends, Mary and Martha. But then he gets to the tomb and he orders the people to roll the stone away. He prays to God, and then he shouts, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man actually comes out of the tomb. He's bound in cloths and his face is wrapped up, and he says, "Unbind him and let him go." And this story speaks to us of God's power, that Jesus has power over every situation. Jesus has power ultimately over life and death, and we know of no other that has that power. No doctor, no technology, no historian, no politician, no one has the power that Jesus has. And in this story of his friends Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, we see a demonstration of the totality of Jesus' power, as if to tell us that Jesus has power over every single thing. And furthermore, that the tragedies that we suffer are an opportunity for God to be glorified. So in this time where we're still in our tomb, so to speak, it's a time for us to wonder about how God is being glorified. How is God being glorified in these days? What's happening inside of our home, inside of our churches, inside of our hearts that's glorifying God? This time is a very special time where we can look to see the church, our families, and our hearts transformed into something new for the glory of God. And we see signs of it already. We see signs of it in our connections with one another, in the prolonged conversations that you're likely having with family and friends that you haven't spoken to in a while, in the connections that you're making and remaking with people in the church, in the care that you're likely feeling for your neighbors who are just a stone's throw away, but seemingly so far. What are the things that God is working in you, in your homes while you're secluded away? What is the hope you have for the new life that you're going to find when we emerge on the other side of this crisis? That's what the Lazarus story is asking us to do, is to hold on to that hopeful future, to the glory that God is causing. You could think of it now like a small seed that's being nurtured in us, a seed of compassion and strength and hope that over this time is going to grow into something that we could neither ask for nor imagine, something beyond our wondering and beyond our vision. When I think of Mary and Martha coming to the tomb with Jesus, I'm sure that they were thinking that they were going to get nothing more from that visit but consolation from their friend. But Jesus proved to them to have a power beyond anything that they could ask for or imagine. That he spoke into their grief and shouted, "Come out!" And then he ended all of their misery. That's the God that we profess faith in. That's the God that we rest our hope in. And that's the kind of future that we can expect when we follow him where he leads. Grace and peace be yours this and every day, in the name of our risen Lord, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen.
Eagle's wings, please join me in singing. Thank you.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the church with your spirit and bless the work of those who work for its renewal, especially in these days of physical isolation and digital connection. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, you love the world you have made, and you grieve when creation suffers. Restore polluted lands and waterways. Heal areas of the world ravaged by storm, flood, wildflower, drought, or other natural disaster. In these days of reduced human activity, bring all things to new life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, show redemption to all who watch and wait with eager expectation. Those longing for war to cease, those waiting for immigration paperwork to finalize, those seeking employment, those in dire need of humanitarian relief, those waiting for COVID-19 to peak and abate. Come quickly with your hope. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, you weep with those who grieve. Unbind all who are held captive by anxiety, despair, or pain, and all who ask us to pray. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle, and keep us faithful in prayer. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, we give thanks for opportunities for this congregation to collaborate with our community in caring for the needs of our neighbors. Strengthen our ties with other local congregations, agencies, and services. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, thank you for dwelling in us and hearing our prayers before our words even form. As we sit in stillness for this moment, fill us with your gracious presence and gather our prayers into your arms. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of life, you are our resurrection. We remember all those who have died and trust that in you they will live again. We remember especially Pastor Phil's father, Albert, who died this week. Breathe new life into our dry bones that we too might live with you forever. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. by water and your word, you claim us as your children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Luther said in one of his more comical moments that although baptism is a once-for-all experience, that we ought to remind ourselves of our baptism daily, that we ought to take the old Adam and drown that old version of ourselves in the water of baptism. He said we should do that because that old Adam is a really good swimmer. So I invite you now to remind yourself of your baptism, to remind yourself of God's goodness, of new life, and of a hopeful future, that hopeful future that God has in mind for all of us. Grace and peace be to you. Amen.